Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Parker's got the Periscope up if you want to watch along with us. So we come in on this Friday. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody.
I feel good. Good to be here. Anywhere, it is good to be. How are you?
I'm all right.
I watched Chernobyl last night.
Both episodes?
Or just the one? Yes, both. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
It's pretty good.
I mean, HBO deserves the benefit of the doubt in everything they do, in my opinion. I mean, HBO's not going to put on bad programming.
Have they ever had any?
I mean, I'm sure they've had some clunkers. But I feel like their clunkers are still better than, like, network TV, usually.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty good... Pretty good show.
You all right?
Yeah.
Falling around?
I'm good.
Have you even seen the news yet?
Grant Williams is staying in the NBA.
Yeah. Leaving for the NBA, I think.
Spoiler alert, in case you haven't heard.
I think it's how you should phrase it. People hear Grant Williams staying, and they probably got excited until you hit them with the in the NBA.
Grant Williams staying in the NBA draft.
Breaking! Grant Williams is staying!
Spoiler alert.
In the NBA draft.
Do you think some people maybe wanted to wait until tomorrow to find out?
You mean like just so like their weekend wouldn't be off to a bad start? I mean, Ben, you have the audio ready of Grant Williams' announcement. Here's Grant Williams talking to Shams from The Athletic, formerly of Yahoo Sports, the 1B to Woj's 1A. He gets the scoop, and they sat down. They did a video for Stadium. Shout out to Brett McMurphy. And here's Grant Williams making his announcement.
Well, my decision is that I'm going to stay in the NBA draft. After receiving this feedback from NBA teams and how I performed and what I'm hearing, I feel confident in myself and my game as well as what I'm hearing from teams, and I'm excited to take this next step in my journey. To Vol fans, honestly, I just want to thank you because there's not much more I can say because you guys have been there for me. You've been amazing to me, and it's been a great 3 years. It's been a great process. I want to thank my teammates, my coaches, as well as you all because without you all, I wouldn't be where I am at today. And please continue to guide me and please be there for me because Vol Nation has the best support in the world, and I want to thank. Actually, I really want to thank Garrett Maidenwald, Coach Rick Barnes, Coach Michael Schwartz, Coach Rob Lanier, Coach Kim English, and also Coach Desmond Oliver, who's my guy. He's my lead recruiter, and I just want to thank them personally. And thank God, thank my parents, and everybody who helped me and influenced me in my decision. And all I have to say is go Vols.
All right, so there's Grant Williams' announcement. Cody couldn't even bother to put on his headphones to listen to Grant Williams' announcement.
I mean, it's not going to affect my weekend, any.
I know. You hate Grant Williams. We have established that.
I do not hate Grant Williams.
No surprise here, Grant Williams. The only surprise, I guess, is that he made that announcement today instead of Saturday like he had originally planned. That is pretty much the only Surprise, I didn't expect it to come down today, but it comes down about really 9:52.
Couldn't have been a better time. Maybe he just wanted us to be able to lead with it.
Yeah, that was nice because, I mean, otherwise we were going to start with the Currys battling, and then after that, maybe like a little bit of all baseball, but then like we were going to be wide open. So shout out to Grant for making the announcement today.
I think that's why I did it. I like to think that.
Just to twist the knife into you one more time for all the trash you've talked about him?
I've never talked trash about him. Name one negative thing I've ever said.
You just said wouldn't affect your weekend at all.
Is that negative?
It's dismissive.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It is. Mr. Oh, when Tennessee loses this year, it's going to hurt so much. Here you are 2 months later, I don't even care that the best Tennessee player of the last 40 years is leaving school.
I felt that way when we were 23-1.
You're a bandwagon basketball fan. You're one of those bandwagon basketball fans. Sad.
I mean, I've been here my whole life. I remember the Buzz Peterson days.
Grant Williams announces he's gone. I think, we could go one or two ways of here. We could go funeral for the Grant Williams era. We could really go, this might be a little bit more somber, and go with the funeral of Tennessee basketball, because I do think the Tennessee basketball we have gotten to experience the last 2 years, those are over. Right? Like, I mean, those days are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty confident in that.
Tennessee's not going to have a player like Grant Williams again for a while, it seems.
I mean, it's still feasible that we could get back to the Sweet 16 in the coming years, but it's not going to be this year.
Well, even if you do, it's going to be one of those Sweet 16 teams that, you know, overachieve, basically. Right? I don't think we're going to go into any tournaments expecting to make the Sweet 16.
Would you rather have one overachieve or one underachieve?
Well, it depends if you want to enjoy the regular season or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a tough question.
I like the regular season a lot, too. If you get to the Sweet 16 by overachieving, that means you are probably pretty frustrating in the regular season. If you underachieved, it means you usually are sadder, but it means you had more to celebrate for the, you know, the couple months of SEC play. So what do you want to do? Do you want to mourn the decision? Do you want to mourn the end of Tennessee basketball, or do you want to celebrate Grant Williams? Because I think this is obviously awesome for Grant Williams. Whenever he announced, I pretty much said, hey, it's over. He's not coming back. Yeah, three-time SEC Player of the Year, blah, blah, blah. Money. Millions. Yeah, but he likes school. Yeah, school's not going anywhere. They might raise the tuition. Good thing for him is he can afford it now. Grant Williams at the Combine, you know, was basically destined to woo some scouts, some GMs, coaches that were there. I have now kind of shifted, and if you ask me where I thought Grant Williams goes, like I've got myself convinced that he's not going to get below 14. That's what I'm thinking today. Now we'll see what happens. He might end up in the early 20s. I just look, and it makes so much sense for me to see him in Boston, which is going to break my heart because I hate Boston, but I just see him learning and being molded by, like, Al Horford. Now, who knows? Maybe Al Horford opts out of his contract and Al Horford's not even there and this becomes moot. Or maybe you could say, well, now they need a Al Horford type of player. He doesn't have Al Horford's athleticism, but he has a similar basketball IQ. I said once you get to the combine, that stock's going to start raising. We'll see what the first couple mock drafts next week say, right? After they look and kind of readjust from what we've seen this week. Grant Williams is one of those guys that, you know, is going to interview well. He's going to really jump out on screen in terms of just making good basketball plays. And he was getting credit yesterday for being willing to go a part of the 5-on-5 scrimmages at the combine. as pretty much all the other first round picks are like, nah, we're good. We're not playing this stupid 5-on-5 game. Griffin was like, yeah, I want to play. You kind of saw why people don't want to play if you watched any of the Jordan Bone scrimmage. Jordan Bone just, I don't want to say looked out of place, but I mean, it's just hard to play team basketball when you're playing with five complete strangers. And you're all kind of have your, you know, your motives of, I got to make myself look the best as I possibly can to get drafted. So it was like G League basketball, except worse. I tried to watch some of the scrimmage, and it was just terrible basketball.
Just guys trying to make their own shots and not really any flow.
Or passing. I mean, there was some passing too, but it's just like it's hard to play high level basketball when you aren't familiar with your teammates. Like, it just is. Especially if you're taking guys like Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, both guys who played in a team system, and saying, "Here, just go." Like, Jordan Bone's in a weird situation because he is a guard bringing the ball up the court. Should I show off my athleticism? Should I show off getting to the rim, or should I make the right play and try to kick out for an open shot? Like, as a point guard, do I need to come up and show I could get by my guy at any time and score, or do I need to show that I could get other guys going? It's just a weird, weird thing. Jordan Bone's another one of those guys. I mean, he did not play well in the 5-on-5, but if you know anything about the combine, if you know anything about the NBA draft, that's not really weighed very heavily. Overall, Jordan Bone had a really good combine. Did you see his measurements and his athleticism?
Yeah, he came in pretty much first in everything he tested in, right?
Now, they were going up against the shooting guards for some reason.
Yeah, but he, let's see. Yeah, I saw
but even then,
max vertical, standing vertical, lane agility, three-quarter court sprint, and the NBA shuttle drill, he was first at his position in all those.
Yeah, I mean, he came out looking like the most explosive guard. That matters more than what he does on the 5-on-5.
He's the second fastest shooting guard in the lane agility since 2000.
It's weird that guy lists as a shooting guard.
Yeah, but I mean, his numbers are stacking up good against. Yeah, I don't know if he can shoot like some of the other guys, but
right. I mean, it's weird that they have him listed as a shooting guard. But when you compare him to some of the elite guys who have came through the combine, even at point guard, like, he had a faster 3/4 court sprint than Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook. Those are two of the best athletes ever in the NBA.
And a 42.5-inch vertical, max vertical.
Which is 2.5 inches more than Derrick Rose and 6 inches more than Russell Westbrook. Like, the measurements are there. The explosiveness is there. I don't know if the basketball skills are there exactly. Now, obviously, like, especially when you're comparing them to guys like, you know, Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, but still.
I mean, these are basketball skills, right? I mean, these are things they test for. Now, that doesn't involve shooting. It doesn't involve basketball IQ or anything like that.
I don't really consider them basketball skills being fast. I don't really consider that.
I mean,
a skill.
It's an athleticism test.
No, I mean, yeah. No, he's jumping off as an elite athlete.
But it's in a basketball environment, at least.
Jordan Bone also made an announcement yesterday. We will continue to talk about Tennessee basketball. I don't want to be sad for Grant Williams. I'm very, very happy for Grant Williams. He has worked himself into being a first-round pick. And like I said, the further this goes along, the more I'm convinced he's going to be like inside the teens than he will be in the 20s. I want to celebrate him. That's a big accomplishment. I hope this kind of bridges the gap between some Tennessee fans and the NBA. I hope Grant Williams finds a good situation to go to. He obviously feels comfortable with where he stands in terms of first round selection. Obviously, if he's going to stay in the draft and make that announcement so early. But man, Tennessee basketball. Kind of a overall dark day for them. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, if you missed the announcement yesterday at 5 on the drive, we have made our announcement for what we're doing at the 10 o'clock slot. Obviously, you know that we Talk Sports are moving to noon, yesterday we announced that the Blitz will go live on that same day.
Get blitzed.
Time to get blitzed.
Yeah. Get blitzed.
Going to be going to grab two guys off the drive, Rick Butler and Brandon Ulrich. Excited for both of them. I'm really excited for Rick to get his first shot. I think Rick's going to be really good. And obviously, you know what Brandon can do if you listen to him on the overtime. And Chance Collins from It's Optional, fresh off of his Gauchery, is getting that third spot right there as they do a three-man show and attack topics from different angles. A fast-paced show. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for all those guys. Like I said, I think they can do something good. I mean, it's not going to be as good as what was in, you know, 10 to noon the last, 2 years. But, I mean, it could be still really good. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's not like we're losing any airtime. We're just starting the day later.
Right. And that's what we really wanted. So
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't sound so good today. Did you have a long night last night? We both sound phlegmy. I stayed up late watching the basketball game.
I stayed up late watching Chernobyl.
Okay.
But no, I'm fine.
We're both just very phlegmy.
Yeah. Mine's permanent.
I got mine caught in my throat. I've been trying to hawk it up. I can't do it. It's in my nose. It's really starting my day off on a bad note. Like, today's not going so well. I'm not in a good mood so far today.
Yeah, I can tell. Do you want to just clear it out?
I've already tried. I'm not going to do it on the air, no. That's gross.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Saying it might help you.
I've tried it during the break. Did you not hear me hacking in there?
Yeah, I did. I did. I heard that. It sounded rough.
So the Blitz goes live Tuesday, May 28th. That's the same day that we move to noon.
So that's going to be Rick Butler, Brandon, and Chance. Chance, a seasoned vet at the station, as is Brandon. Rick, a very high-energy guy. I like that combination. I hope it works out.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
Again, tall, tough, you know, tall task to try to keep noon to, or 10 to noon so good, you know, that we have, you know, successfully done for, 2 years now, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking them to try to live up to that, you know.
That's true.
I think they can still do a good show, though.
That'd be kind of unfair to hold them to that standard.
Right. Yeah.
But they promised fast pace. I like fast pace, so we'll see how it goes. May 28th, the Blitz right here on Fox Sports Knoxville as we give you 13 hours of local coverage from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Are we going to talk about the announcement for the 8 p.m. to midnight show next?
No. Keep that one under wraps.
No.
Keep that one under wraps.
That would be fun. Just do a late night show.
I've always thought about that, but then I was like, I don't know if would it actually be fun to be on during games? And then I was like, I don't think it really would be. I just find myself watching the game and whatever game was on and kind of reacting to it.
I don't know. I know a lot of the national programming does it.
Well, national programming does 24 hours.
Yeah, they just broadcast all throughout the day.
Yeah, I mean, they do 24 hours.
So
they don't put their good stuff on at 8.
No, and we wouldn't either. But we could find somebody to come in at 8, you know?
I mean, just keep pushing that local programming as far as we can. 24 hours of local programming.
That would be pretty cool.
We do need to find a 14th hour somewhere.
Why? You think 13's unlucky?
Well, yeah, plus, I mean, we could officially say that we have the most. Like, we do have the most if you compare us to the other station because they have – a lot of commercial time, but I'm just saying, like, you know, we're both at 13 hours. If we can push it to, like, 14 or 15.
Oh, yeah, just one more hour?
Yeah, just to kind of prove a point.
Because they're 6 to 7?
Yeah, just to kind of prove a point.
And we're 7 to 8, so, yeah. Or we could just start. We could just have overtime go, like, an extra 10 minutes.
That's true.
Just finish at 8:10.
Hey, Nate, have you ever considered letting overtime run until 8:15?
Or have three and outs.
Maybe
start.
Let them run till 8:15. Most local programming. Indisputable. 8:15, just think about it.
I think he said no.
No? Just something to think about.
It's on the table.
Give a little overtime, a little extra time, you know?
Or three and out. Three and out could start 5 minutes
early.
Yeah,
or you guys can come in at 5:30 or 6:30.
We already.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, just, you know, it's still arguable. I mean, we know.
I'll give it the weekend.
Yeah, just think about it. Tanner Carson, 15 extra minutes.
He can handle it.
13 hours versus 13 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, which one are you picking?
Well, actually, if you think about it, their first show doesn't usually start until like 6:07.
Right. I mean, yeah, so, I mean, obviously with commercials, we know the deal.
So we do have a few minutes on them.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, just if someone was just looking at a sheet and it said 7 to 8 versus, you know, 6 to 7, you would just sit there and say, oh, it seems similar to me. Like, they're, you know. The common fan probably isn't thinking, well, what about the commercial time? I'm just saying, you throw 8:15 on there, I mean, it's the easy pick. I mean, you see 8-minute abs sitting there, and you see 7-minute abs sitting next to it. Which one are you picking? Huh?
I'm picking us, regardless. I don't know. I turn.
If you can
on...
get your abs done in 8 minutes versus getting your abs done in 7 minutes, it's an easy pick, right?
It might be more intense in the 7 minutes, though. Which would not be the case in this particular scenario.
Right, but you
in
save
terms
the,
of ab workout.
But you save that minute. And every day, those add up. This is the opposite, though. You know, we'd be getting the extra 15. That basically turns into what? An extra hour and 15 minutes a week? I mean, come on.
I'd rather do a longer segment with the abs. It's maybe a little slower paced.
Oh, okay. So you want the 240-minute abs?
Well, no, not that long.
Oh.
Not that long. I mean, okay. But 8 minutes is fine. When's the last time you did an ab workout?
When I go to the gym, I'll sometimes roll around on the ball and pretend like I'm doing it, but I'm really just stretching my back out. But if people watch, every now and then I'll throw a little couple of fake crunches in there. So, I mean, does that count? Because I do that frequently.
I don't think so.
I go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week and pretend like I'm doing stuff at least.
I don't know. I used to do... The sideways, the twist crunches, you ever do those? Those are harder than the regular ones. Those make you really hurt in the ribs.
I usually just lay on the ball and stretch out my back a little bit. I mean,
that works too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have like ab machines, I think, too.
I'm not
for strengthening
about that.
Your core.
I'm just trying to lose like 10 pounds, 15 pounds. I'm not trying to get abs. I feel like I'm too late in my life to
abs.
I feel like I'm too late in my life to try to go with the ab workout. I feel like I'm a little too far gone. I just want to lose like 15 pounds.
Why even work out? You could just change your diet.
Because I still like eating. I mean, I try to fix my diet a little bit. Like, I don't know if you saw, I was drinking a green smoothie a lot.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm surprised that hasn't come up yet. The only reason I didn't...
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to come in here and brag about it.
No, I saw it and I was like, is that John's? No way. It's not yours. And it was yours?
Yeah. I've been trying to smoothie it up.
I like the green smoothies. What kind did you do? Was it, let me guess, kale?
No.
Okay. So
I think we go spinach instead of kale, yeah.
Spinach, apple, and lemon?
Lemon?
See, that's not a crazy
do
thing.
Do people put lemon in smoothies? Yes. Okay.
Not much. I mean, if you put too much, it'll be sour.
I'll say like a whole damn lemon. Yeah, okay, no, so no. Just a little sprinkle
like
of lemon.
A half a lemon.
I think we go spinach, pineapple, and banana, I think.
Oh, well, that's a
It might just be spinach and banana, but I think there's pineapple in there, too. I know I bought a lot of frozen pineapples for this very reason, so I think there's pineapples in there.
That's probably a tasty smoothie.
It's very good.
Do you have the Nutribullet?
I don't know what that means.
It's the juicer.
Oh, we got some kind of juicer. I don't know what it is. I don't make the smoothies. Queen makes the smoothies. And, you know, in early years of college, she worked at Smoothie King, so she's kind of a professional.
She kind of knows what she's doing.
She's kind of a smoothie professional.
Yeah. It's fun making the juices because you can, you know, chopping up the fruit and everything. You just put it in and just.
The problem is it leaves me hungry.
Oh, yeah.
One smoothies. It's, I don't know.
No, it's not satisfying.
I'm hungry right now talking about it, honestly.
It's great nutrition, but, it won't satisfy you.
That's really why I'm looking forward to the noon switch. A, maybe you'll be like 5% less groggy, and then maybe I could do breakfast and lunch before doing the show rather than sitting here and waiting until like 1:15 because let's look down at the clock. We got a long way to go before I get to eat lunch.
Yeah.
A long way to go.
Should you eat lunch before the show?
I'm going to. What do you want me to do, wait till 3?
I mean, you could eat a late breakfast and then a late lunch.
A late breakfast?
Yeah, like eat breakfast like at 10:30 or something.
But I plan on still waking up at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Like, I'm not going to go into like sleeping in until the show.
Well, that might be good for you. You could do that that fasting period for 3 hours. People say that's good for you.
I never know what to do. I feel like we're always changing everything we're supposed to do. First, you're supposed to eat 5 small meals throughout the day. Now you're supposed to only eat during 8 hours and not eat the other time. Have you ever looked at the nutritional chart they gave us when we were kids? Have you ever looked at that?
How the most that
we're supposed to eat like 8 servings of bread a day?
That's the most you should eat.
Or it was like what, 4 to 6? Was it 3 to 5, 4 to 6? I don't know. It was the bottom of the pyramid.
It was the biggest group. They wanted us to eat meats.
They wanted us to eat all the grain and bread we could get our hands on. That's what they taught us all the way through, like what, 8th grade? Then I was supposed to eat a bunch of small meals to keep the body working. Now I'm supposed to only eat 8 hours a day and fast the rest of it. I don't know what the hell to do. So I just go to the gym and I lay on my medicine ball or my bouncy ball, whatever the hell it's called. It's not a medicine ball. Medicine ball is the heavy one. What's the big ball? What's it called?
Fitness orb.
The fitness ball.
I think it's just a bouncy ball.
A bouncy ball. When I think of bouncy ball, I think of a little bouncy ball you could just bounce and it goes really high that you can get like out of the coin machine. That's what I think of when I think of bouncy balls.
It's a fitness orb.
I got choked on one of those one time.
A fitness what?
Orb.
I just lay on my fitness orb. I put my hands up and I roll around. Stretch my back out. I go and I lift some weights. Look in the mirror. You got to look in the mirror for some reason. I don't know why. I always thought that was weird, but it's true. You just got to look in the mirror.
Makes you feel strong.
And then I go and I bust out a mile. Then I'm like, okay, I feel good. I mean, maybe
on a treadmill?
Yeah, maybe one day I'll extend it back out to 2 or 3, but, you know, the mile, I'm feeling good.
Do you run?
Yeah, I mean, not crazy fast. I mean, I work up. I go 5.8. Then I go to 5.9. Then I go to 6.3, 6.6, and then I finish on 6.6.
Miles per hour?
Yeah. Just
you
give
run
me a little,
the whole time?
Yeah, give me a little 6.6.
That's a lot. I usually start at about 3.
Last week I was busting at 7. I was busting like 7.5, and I was like, whoa, I didn't know I was this fast. 7.5.
Treadmills suck.
I prefer treadmills to outdoors.
That's ridiculous.
I hate outdoors.
That's absolutely crazy.
I mean, if I had a bike, maybe that's different, although I'm not very confident riding bikes.
You're not very confident riding bikes?
Out in public?
You still need training wheels?
No, I mean, I can ride a bike. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if there was an obstacle or something happened, I might fall. I just don't feel very confident. I feel like if I fell off a bike in front of people, I would just...
You don't trust yourself to avoid?
Like, that would be funny.
Like, I mean, if we're just going on a scale of 1 to 50 on my bike riding skills, I feel like I'm at like a 34.
Do you have like a problem with like the gears?
The gears? I mean, no. I mean, I'm okay with the gears. I just...
You start crying in the street.
Like, I'm like a 34 out of 50 on my confidence level. Like, it's just... If something runs out in front of me, I might be able to hit the brakes in time, but who knows? If I ever get going down a hill too fast, I mean, I get nervous. I start thinking back to, like, you know, 4th, 5th grade. Don't even get me started on if I have to go up a hill. Then I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, that's when you just get off and push with it beside you.
Then I got to go up a big hill. Huh.
Yeah, nobody's doing that. You just got to walk it.
So I don't really get on the bikes.
I rode a bike in college my very first semester, and everyone laughed at me. I had
Why'd they laugh at you?
I had a bike lock and everything, and I rode it to class.
Why'd they laugh?
Because I was quite top-heavy.
So? You're out here trying to better yourself.
No, I was just trying to get to class on the bike instead of walking. Well, and I did it for like 2 days, and everybody stared at me and laughed, and I quit. I just quit going to class.
Did you see the girl yesterday taking her, like, how the guys from Barstool, I guess, had tried to shame this Yankees fan who was at the game, and just for, like, a good 90 seconds straight, all she did was work on her poses for her, like, Instagram picture. She had somebody just snapping 50 different shots of her.
Yeah, I saw that.
As she's taking all these different poses, and everyone, they tried to put it on the internet to mock her, and then the replies didn't really go the way that they thought they were going to go. Everyone's just like, what's the big deal? Why are you mocking this person? you're trying to prove she's not a big baseball fan, whatever. Oh, she's not watching the game. Well, what about the guy who spent 2 minutes taking a video of a stranger? Like, is he watching the game type of thing? I just get a problem with people shaming people on the internet. I feel, and then you talking about getting shamed for riding your bike made me think of that. People should just let you ride your bike.
It wasn't on the internet, though. Well, as far as I know, someone could have posted it. Look at this fat ass trying to ride this bicycle to class.
Is that thought of to be lazy to ride your bike to class versus walking?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Like on the walkway and just have to get out of the way. And let's face it, you have to get extra out of the way for you. So, I mean.
I don't know. When I first got to campus, I was like, I don't know. I was only like 18. And I was just like, I thought somebody had told me it's a good idea to have a bike when you go to college. So I took my bike. I don't know.
My roommates rode their bikes to class like every time it got warm, basically, whenever we were living
on campus or no?
Yeah, in our house now in the fort.
Well, that's not really the same. I mean, that makes more sense to ride a bike is what I'm saying.
You got the scooters now.
Well, I mean, when I went to college my freshman year, it was MTSU, and that place is flat, and it's all, like, you have to pretty much live on campus. Riding a bike there would have seemed dumb. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would have been like a tenth of a mile to ride a bike, you know what I mean? Or two-tenths of a mile. Like, at that point, it's not really worth it. Just walk. But in the fort, yeah, like, that, I mean, besides the hills, I guess, that would really just make me not want to go to class ever. Except now they got these electric scooters, so, like, I would just make sure I always had an electric scooter close by.
A lot of students just Uber to class now. I would have done the same thing
if I had been around. If you are in school and your parents are still pretty much keeping money in your account, yeah, I'm not walking.
Especially if it's like,
hey, you want me to buy a parking pass, or you just want me to take these $6 Ubers? Okay, yeah, let's just take these $6 Ubers.
I mean, if you live in the fort and you got a class on the hill, like, and you're not over there,
that's
past,
not good walking.
No, if you're not over there past like 17th Street, like if you live where Ben lives, down around 23rd. You got class in the fort? I mean, who's walking that?
What were we supposed to be talking about? Jordan Bone?
I don't remember.
Jordan Bone. Yeah, let's talk about Jordan Bone next. Stick with us.
Ben, you want facts? How about a swift kick in the nuts?
Jordan Bone made his announcement that he is going to make his decision May 29th. That is the deadline, the old deadline, to withdraw your name. Now, if you're invited to the combine, you can actually wait all the way through the draft. But Jordan Bone said, I will let you know my decision May 29th. So you will at least have an answer, which makes sense because Tennessee's preparing for him to be gone. If he is going to want to come back to school, he's going to have to let them know before they give away that scholarship, before they go ahead and just move on. So he said, hey, I'm going to let you know May 29th. Like I said earlier, he did not have a great 5-on-5, although that's not really a huge indicator of success. That's not a huge metric that these guys are looking at. Most of the first-round picks don't even bother with it. Now, sure, you could go out there and ball out and really stand out, or you could just look like you completely don't belong on a court. Neither of those things happened to Jordan Bone, and we talked about how much he just jumped off the page when it came to his measurements. It's funny. He made that comment that he was announcing May 29th after he struggled in the 5-on-5, and it seems like, yeah, maybe he's just getting bad reviews. Maybe this seems like he's just admitting defeats or admitting that he needs to come back to school and work on some things. But then he came out and completely dominated the physical attributes. Like Cody said, the fastest, the quickest, the highest jumper.
I mean, he's got to be the most athletic guy in the combine.
I'm sure that some GM will look at that and say, yeah, that explosiveness, we can figure out something to do with that. Right?
I would think so.
Big news, if you're just joining us, Grant Williams announced his intention to, or not his intention, he announced that he is staying in the NBA draft. No more Grant Williams at Tennessee. He leaves. This comes from Marshall Hughes. He leaves as Tennessee's third best shot blocker, third in free throw attempts, fourth in free throws made, eighth in offensive rebounds, and 12th in scoring in 3 years. Man, he really, I don't know where, how high he could have gotten on the scoring list. I assume that, you know, another big year could have got him in the top three or top four. I'd have to check to see, you know, just how far away he was on that. Could have gone down as, you know, a three-time SEC player of the year, but he's still leaving, in my opinion, as the best Vol since Bernie. In my opinion.
Very well.
Could have came back and, you know, maybe got a third SEC player of the year. It wouldn't have really mattered other than legacy-wise. It wouldn't have helped his draft stock. Next year's draft's going to be deeper. Going to be a little tougher. He's going to be another year older. The writing was on the wall for Grant Williams to go pro, and he made his announcement that that's what he intends to do. And now I hope that he can help bridge the gap. I hope he finds an exciting or at least a good NBA team and people will care about them and he gets playing time and he contributes and he becomes a thing.
Sounds like he's definitely going to go in the first round. Like I don't think he has anything to worry about dropping out of the first round.
No, and like I said, the further we go, the more I think he's in the teens than in the 20s.
Is it the Jazz that have the pick? There's some interest with the Jazz there, right?
The Jazz are at 23, so people think he makes a lot of sense in Utah, kind of as a replacement to Derek Favors.
And you wouldn't think he would drop past that point?
I think he makes sense for somebody like Brad Stevens and the Celtics, honestly, at 14 or maybe even as high as 13 to the Heat.
Get to go play in Miami or...
I mean, I think if you paired him as kind of a big man combo next to Bam Adebayo, like that's a pretty good 5-4 combination. We'll see what happens. But I think, like I said, he's going to trend upwards, and I do think we are going to talk about him next year, at least getting some minutes, being a contributor. I'm excited to see. He will go as far as his three-point shot takes him. Like, if he can get a consistent three-point shot, he could be a really, really good NBA player. If he doesn't, he'll still be a smart bench player who can contribute. But if he wants to be a big-time starter or, you know, a starter or a big-time player, he's going to have to work on his threes. I'm sure he's smart enough to realize that. I'm sure he's worked on it, which has, you know, made him comfortable in his stance. But Grant Williams makes his decision. I haven't heard anything really from Admiral in the combine. It was all about Bone and Grant.
I know a couple of those mock drafts had him as a first rounder. One of them even had him going ahead of Grant.
I believe Gary Parrish was the one who had him going ahead of Grant. I think he had him at like 19 or 20 or 21, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
With Grant being closer to the 26 range. I've seen Admiral pop up a lot lately at like number 30 to the Bucks. I just didn't see him. I didn't see anything really from him coming out of the combine. Tennessee basketball is in trouble, isn't it?
I'm afraid so, yeah. I don't see any way this turns out well. I think you gave Rick Barnes too much money at a bad time. I'm not saying Rick Barnes is not worth the money and a consistent program is good to have, but I think it came at a really bad time.
Well, on the flip side, man, I think it would have been really tough to hire a big-time coach to come in here right now.
Oh, it would, yeah.
It would have been like a similar situation as to when Konzo jettisoned.
Yeah, sure, it would. So, I mean,
you look around and be like, am I really going to come up there and coach Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden? Like, they're solid players, but if they're my two best players, like, is that really a job I want to take right now?
Yeah, I mean, so I think you probably made the right decision in maintaining the consistency, but when things start to look bad this year, though, that's the thing everybody's going to fall back on is, why are we paying this guy so much money?
Well, I think that Rick Barnes is honestly should be responsible for that and should be kind of in that situation where he has to kind of reap what he sowed a little bit, or you know, that makes it sound negative, where he has to kind of replenish Tennessee. Like, hey, we didn't win big enough to where we're going to be okay with bad seasons, right? It's not like you gave us a Final Four and we're okay with taking a step back. That didn't happen. You gave us a Sweet 16 and kind of left us with a bad taste in our mouth, where now we aren't going to tolerate going back to being bad. If you'd have given us a Final Four, or hell, even an Elite Eight with a close Final Four loss, you probably could have got by with not being good next year.
Well, he needs to come out and do what he did 2 years ago and overachieve. I think that could, that'll save it. That'll make people happy, and it'll make people feel better about the future and how much he's getting paid.
Well, I'm not going to talk about recruiting, but I mean, the people who were mad about recruiting are going to look and say, okay, the fact that you don't have players to kind of step in for these guys isn't an excuse, right? That's a part of your job. So just because four guys are gone now, Grant, Admiral, Bone, Kyle, just because they're gone isn't really an excuse. This isn't football where you graduate your quarterback and you now have to bring in a young guy to play quarterback. And maybe he'll be good, maybe he's not. This isn't like that. In basketball, you kind of are supposed to kind of keep rolling. You don't really see good programs take steps back, at least big steps back, right? Like, no elite program really goes to from top 10 to, you know, missing the tournament. Arizona did this year. That's about it. Usually that doesn't happen. Now, sometimes it does. Usually it doesn't.
Do you think this time a year ago, Rick Barnes was relying on having Grant Williams back for two more years?
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, I don't think any of us thought Grant Williams was playing his last season in Knoxville, right?
Right. So that's what I'm wondering, if maybe, and that looks bad in recruiting, but maybe that was Barnes' mindset. It's like, I don't think he's going to the NBA. You know?
I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like Rick Barnes really considered Jordan Bone as a potential guy going early. Didn't really seem right. Like we had a plan at point guard other than scramble and try to get a 5'9" Jordan Cone to reclassify and come in as a 17-year-old kid.
So, yes, scramble is the right word. It seems like Barnes is kind of scrambling now, you know, whereas 2 years ago, I mean, I don't think Barnes thought he'd lose either one of those guys. So, and I think we all admit, if Jordan Bone and Grant Williams were coming back, I think we all think we're a tournament team and probably, definitely a top 20 team with those two back.
Parker has pointed out I said Jordan Cone again. I thought I said Jalen, but Jalen Cone.
Jordan Bone, Jalen Cone?
Yeah, I thought I said Jalen
Bone. Jalen Bone, Jordan Cone.
Jordan, so. I'm not an idiot. I just messed up.
Jordan Cone and Jalen Bone. It's confusing.
I thought I said Jalen, but Parker's here to make sure I don't look like an idiot, so I appreciate it. He's like my caddy in Happy Gilmore. I was like, hey, can you make sure I don't look like an idiot?
Parker's not homeless.
No, not that guy. The Pelskin guy.
Oh, the other guy.
Yeah, at the Waterbury Open. But he does end up kind of making him look like an idiot, so he didn't really do his job, but hopefully Parker's better than that guy.
Did you say Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
It's kind of like Jordan and Jalen. Gilmore or Caddyshack?
Yeah.
It just seemed like they didn't really have a plan for even Jordan Bone making this announcement, right, with point guards. And does it seem like Rick Barnes is interested in going with a big-time grad transfer? Does it seem like that's something coming down the chute? I haven't seen any of them. If that's the case, like I guess there was the guy, Euros Plavich or whatever from Arizona State, the big 7-footer. But, I mean, I don't think he's someone who's going to commit to Tennessee, transfer here, and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, now things are fine. I don't think that guy's that type of player. So if you asked if I think he thought Grant Williams would be here next year, I would say yeah. I mean, I don't know at what point people started really taking this Grant Williams to the NBA thing seriously.
Do we blame Rick Barnes for thinking that and maybe not having the best plan B in place? Or would you be kind of scrambling too? I mean, if I'm the head coach and I don't know if you should ever assume that your best player is going to be back.
I don't know if that's actually the case. that they got blindsided or whatever. I think some of the fan base, like the fans were really dragging their feet even through like March. Like every time I talk about Grant Williams' mock draft, a lot of people be like, no, he loves school too much. He'll be back. No, he's not ready for the NBA. He's not good enough. He's undersized. Blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I was told like in January, and I believe I said it on the show, you know, Tennessee was prepping to have five open scholarships. They've kind of known that either through transfers or graduations or something, like they were going to have five people. So I think at least Grant Williams had to be in that equation somewhere, right? I mean, he was showing up on mock drafts really from from January on. Although maybe people got blindsided. I don't know. Because like I said, a lot of the fans kept telling me, like, he loves school too much. He wants to get his master's. He loves school. He doesn't want to leave early. And you're kind of like, well, he's graduating in 3 years, and like I said, the master's program isn't going anywhere. Especially when you're rich.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to choose school over money.
Like I said, whenever school's always going to be there. Mike Wilson. Who's Mike Wilson?
The dude from the Sentinel?
Is he from the Sentinel? I wasn't sure if he was from the Sentinel or from Nashville. This may be the most unintentionally funny post I've seen in a while. At 10:19?
If it's from a reporter, I'm going to assume it's unintentionally funny.
Oh, yeah. No. It is not meant to be funny. At 10:19, can confirm Shams on Grant Williams staying in the NBA draft. What do you mean you can confirm? We like saw Grant Williams tell us. Like, I don't think we need your confirmation. Like, we watched Grant Williams in his own voice tell us. Like, this wasn't a...
I can confirm I saw that too.
This wasn't a sources type of thing. This was a Grant Williams looks in the camera and says, hey guys, I love you. Shout out to all my coaches. Shout out to the fans. I'm staying in the draft. Like, I don't think we needed someone to put on their Big J journalist investigative hat and go try to track this story down. I think the story was kind of right there in our face, on our screens.
I think he just watched it. He's confirming that he saw the same thing the rest of us did, as if there was any speculation about, you know. I mean, he's a good investigative reporter, right? That could have not been Grant Williams' real voice. It could have been, who knows? What could have been an audio track placed in there?
Is that common in journalism?
I don't know. I got out of the field for that reason. Too much stroking egos and just too much seriousness. And
I mean, I just wonder what gave him the nod that Grant Williams was staying in the NBA draft. Like, was it the Shams report, or was it Grant Williams looking at the camera and saying, "Hey, I'm going to the NBA draft and I'm staying here."
I can confirm. I just saw him say that. Maybe that's what he's saying. He's probably, I guess he's saying that maybe he called Grant Williams or something and he told him the same thing.
Maybe there's more to the story. I'm not clicking on it, though.
No, no need to give them any clicks. I don't know. Their budget has lowered a lot in the last few years.
Okay, we're not going to like bash the newspaper. They named me best local radio personality.
If they didn't, I'm pretty sure we'd bash them.
Well, their readers did.
The readers did, but I mean, they gave me the plaque.
Went over and demanded it.
Yeah,
I had to go over and demand it, and sure, I didn't get an invite to the party. Like, whatever. Like, yeah. I feel like I got good old boyed. Like, I feel like they didn't want to see an outsider come strut his ass in there and take that award. And
exactly. God. They didn't want to give you your moment.
They saw you rolling up the steps in your Heartbreak Kid shirt. Oh, God, here he is.
Boom, boom, boom.
He's
boom.
Here for
Sean!
Do we have his plaque? Yeah, we'll get one made.
They better just hope I don't go back-to-back.
Yeah, it was probably more the fear of like bringing Williams. Along Cody and myself.
That's true. Much like Grant Williams, if I go back-to-back, I don't know if I'll be here a third year.
Yeah, might
update the old resume and start shopping around.
Get plucked.
I don't know how many people have gone back-to-back in Knoxville history. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not
Grant Williams was in rarefied air, so like I don't know.
Maybe you'll get plucked by a bigger market.
It's like, hey, call me two plaques. Just saying, I don't want to bash the newspaper yet.
Call you two plaques.
I don't want to bash the newspaper just yet.
Well, what are they going to do? Rig the voting?
Maybe. That's what happened to me my senior year of high school for prom, so I don't want to
wait. What?
Go down this route again. I've told this story before, I'm sure.
I don't think you have.
When I had to resign from class president due to corruption, I didn't tell you about this. The prom voting got rigged, and I resigned.
You rigged it?
No.
Oh, I do remember this. You said
it got rigged against me, and
you
I
quit on the announcements.
I went on the announcements, yeah, and said I have to resign due to favoritism and corruption. So it's happened to me before.
How do you know it was rigged against you?
A tie? A tie? You think it was really a tie in a full school?
It could have been.
No, it wasn't a tie.
So you just assumed they rigged it against you?
Yeah, because they didn't like my idea. The teacher didn't like my idea. They were out to get me.
Maybe they were out to get the person you tied with.
No, that's the one everyone else wanted. It was me wanting one thing and everyone else wanting another, and the school apparently agreed with me. But it was a tie. Which in hindsight,
so
look,
did you lose?
I lost the runoff, yeah. The tie runoff, I lost that one.
How?
They let the senior class vote on it instead of the juniors.
Were you a junior?
Yeah.
And the seniors didn't like you?
The seniors didn't care. No, they all just wrote in for like weird stuff. So like, I got prom cut.
I don't think it was rigged against you.
It was.
It doesn't sound like
you weren't
it
in that room.
No, I wasn't. Granted, but
you weren't in that room.
I think you just built that narrative.
That's absolutely not true. You weren't in the room.
I think you just assumed it was rigged.
So you mean to tell me that I put one on there, and they look at me and say, I don't like this one, we want this one, right? And then we vote in the school, and everyone tells me in the classes, hey, we voted for this one. And then that's just magically a tie, and instead of running it off with the junior class, we're all of a sudden going to let the seniors run off on it because they're more easily manipulated and don't care, and we're voting for things like Talladega Nights. You mean to tell me that I've just created this narrative in my head? Is that what you're telling me?
Do you have any other reason to think they rigged it other than
yes, that woman hated me. She hated me. In hindsight, my choice would have been really frowned upon in 2019. I went with Step in the Name of Love, an R. Kelly song.
Maybe they knew something you didn't know at the time.
Maybe. Doesn't mean it wasn't rigged, but in hindsight, I will say that A Knight Enchanted holds up better than Step in the Name of Love. I will concede that point.
In hindsight, they made the right decision.
In hindsight, corruption helped them stumble into the right decision. But Step in the Name of Love, you put red, black, pink as the colors. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, you know.
It would be forever tarnished when you looked back
yeah
on it.
Yeah. Although it would be a good story, I guess. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.